Welcome everybody, let's worship our God together. Here we go.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems drown, all music but its roll. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity.
Let's sing the next verse.
Crown him the Lord of who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious of the strife for those he came, that's you and me. Yes, his glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and live the death may die.
Come on, let's sing.
Sing that again.
He's a God. What a gift that our God says you are not only a friend, but he calls us his very own sons and daughters. What a gift today. Help us to receive that even as we worship today. Let's sing like this together. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Sing his body, his body. Praise his name.
Well, it is really, really great to worship with you tonight. At one point right now, I just closed my eyes and wanted to hear all of your voices. And let me tell you, from up here, you guys sound really good. You guys sound great. So it's really cool to worship with you guys. Even you guys up there in the upper room, we see you. We love you. Oh, man. But, you know, one of the values that we hold dearly here at Christian Assembly is the value of family. And it's how we do the Christ-centered life together, how we are a community and how we are a family. One of the ways that we express that value, One of the ways that we live that out is by taking pause of our services on a regular basis and doing what we call baby dedications. And tonight, we get to do baby dedications. In fact, across all of our services, we have 10 babies, 10 little ones being dedicated this weekend. Two tonight. And we follow the pattern in Scripture. Scripture teaches us that when Jesus was an infant, his parents brought him to be dedicated. And then later in life, as he was an adult, he was baptized. And so we follow that pattern, and we dedicate babies. So tonight, like I said, we have two little ones, beautiful little ones that I want you to meet, the first of which is Sora. So would you welcome Sora and her parents? And I'm going to move out of the way so you can see Sora, because she is adorable. And we also welcome Dawson and his family. So would you help me welcome Dawson?
You guys can move a little bit over.
Well, Scripture tells us that children are a gift from God. And don't you think these two are a beautiful representation of that gift? And as your church family, we want to be with you tonight. We want to celebrate with you this beautiful miracle that God has brought into your lives. But we're also mindful of what a great responsibility that the Lord has privileged you and entrusted you to care for Dawson, to care for Sora. And the very best thing that we can encourage you as a church family is that you would get to introduce them into a life that follows after Jesus. So mom and dad, model what it looks like to follow Jesus. The best gift you can give your child is to be a mom and dad that are on your hands and knees praying before the Lord and teaching that rhythm to your little ones. And, you know, the very next best thing that we would encourage you to do as well is to love each other well. To have a marriage that seeks to God, that loves Him, and that loves one another. The Bible also tells us that there is an enemy, that there is an enemy that is dead set against attacking spiritually the lives of your little ones. And so tonight we're going to dedicate them. And we're going to pray that God would protect them and His Holy Spirit would come around them. And as your church family, we want to partner with you on this journey. Some of the folks in this room will be kids' church shepherds. Some of them will be student ministry leaders. Some of them will be worship leaders. And just some of them will just be able to hug you and kiss you along the way and help you when you need that help. So church family, one of the things that we love to do is in lieu of having all of you guys come up here and hug them and kiss them, we extend a hand as a way of saying we're with you, we love you, and we want to bless you. So would you help me to do that? And family members, if you want to come up and take pictures, please do. So Lord, we do. We dedicate these two precious little ones before you tonight, Lord. We ask that you would be with them, Lord. Father God, we pray for Sora. We pray that first of all, that you would make her a bold warrior for you, Jesus. That's her parents' prayer, Lord. Father, thank you for bringing her into this family. And Father, we dedicate her now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we ask that she would grow up to be a good friend to others and have good friends, Jesus. That she would tell others about you and your love, Lord. And when the time is right, that she would open up her life and her heart and receive you as her Lord and Savior, Father. So we pray a dedication over Sora. And likewise, we pray for Dawson, Lord. We just ask that you would bless his little life, Father. Thank you for who he is. Thank you for Big Brother. Thank you for the family that you've brought him into. And Lord, we just pray a blessing over Dawson's life, Lord, that he also would open his heart to you when the time is right and receive you as his Lord and Savior. Would he be bold in proclaiming your gospel around him wherever he might go? Would he be an influencer for you, Lord? Every place that his footsteps, Father, would be holy because you are with him, Lord. So we pray that over Dawson in the great name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you tonight. Amen. One more time, would you welcome these families? We love you guys. Thank you so much. That's my best scene.
Hey guys, thanks so much for being here and being a part of the men's planning team for our 2022 men's conference. Ooh, it is going to be so good this year. Let me tell you a little bit about it. It's May 13th and 14th, which is a Friday and Saturday. It's going to be just a great time for brothers to be together, to worship, to hear some great teaching. But also, it wouldn't be a CA event without lots of fun. Marvin's got a ton of fun things planned for us to be able to do together, man. And all of it is only $25, which includes Chick-fil-A. So we're just so excited about that. And besides, guys, what would we rather be doing on a Friday and Saturday in May than being together as the men of CA?
You are my fire, the one desire. Believe when I say I want it that way. But we are two worlds apart. Can't reach to your heart when you say that I want it that way. Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a heartache.
Tell me why.
Ain't nothing but a mistake. Tell me why.
Marvin.
You're right, Ralph. There's nothing I'd rather be doing than going to the men's conference.
People have been asking us if we're going to do the live version of it. So, Ralph, are you ready? Go for it. No. If you want to see the live version, men, you have to come to
the conference.
You got to come to the men's conference. So there it is. There's the biggest tease in the world. But guys, we are so excited. Our men's conference is just 2 weekends away, and we're going to be in this room worshiping Jesus. We've had over 300 men already registered. If you have not yet registered, would you join those men? Come and be with us. It's just $25. That includes a t-shirt, that includes a book, that includes Chick-fil-A lunch, and so many other fun goodies that we have for you guys today. That day is 2 days of worship, brotherhood, and just some really, really good times. So guys, let me encourage you, register today. In fact, on your way out in the lobby, there's some computers. You can register then so you don't have an excuse to do it later. You can do it now. We just want you to be with us. So would you join Ralph and I, and maybe, I'm not going to commit myself, maybe we'll do a live version of the dance for you guys. It's going to be great. Well, my name is Marvin. A special welcome to all of you that are here for the first time. If you're here for the first time, you're thinking, wow, this church is different. And we love that. And we love that. Any special guests that are here tonight, just want to say thank you. If you want to fill out the connection card, it's right in the seat back in front of you. That helps us to identify you and to follow up with you and to let you know great things that are happening around our church. You can also stop by the New People's Table in the lobby. And for those of you that are joining us online, we just want to say welcome. We love that you are with us. Thank you for worshiping with us wherever you might be as well. Partnership class is starting tomorrow, and it's an important step towards belonging. So whether you're new to Christian Assembly or you've been here for a very long time, we encourage you to come and be a part of the partnership class. You get to meet pastors. You get to hear more about who we are and what our values are and what we believe as a church. And of course, you get to meet lots of new friends. Breakfast is provided. That is happening tomorrow across the street at 11 o'clock in our North Sanctuary. So there is still time for you to jump on in. You can just come tomorrow and you'll be a part of the partnership class. Conversations about Jesus is happening Thursday nights in the month of May. And this is for anyone who is investigating faith. If you have questions about who Jesus is, this is the perfect place for you to bring your questions. So come, whether you're convinced or unconvinced of the gospel, you're curious about who Jesus is and Christianity, come and be a part of conversations about Jesus. Matt Price, one of our pastors, is your host. So you can bring a friend, bring a family member, coworker, and join in on the conversation. And finally, Fusion, which is our 18 to 35-year-old community, is hosting their very first ever conference, and that's happening in the month of June. And so if you are 18 to 35, let me encourage you to sign up and be a part of the Fusion Conference. Or if you know someone that is 18 to 35, would you encourage them to sign up and be a part of this young adult community? Finally, we get to worship now through the giving of our tithes and offerings. If you are new or if you're visiting, just feel no obligation. Just enjoy this time. But to the rest of you that choose to give, whether it's here in the service or through our app, we just pray that you are blessed during this giving time. And before our ushers come, I'm going to ask that you join me in a word of prayer. And before I pray, let me read from Leviticus 27:30. It says, "A tithe of everything comes from the land. Whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees belongs to the Lord, it is holy and unto the Lord." So, Father, we honor you through the giving of our tithes and offerings, through our finances, Lord. You've been so generous to us, Lord, and so the only way we can choose to respond in worship is to give out of what you've so freely given to us. You gave so freely that you didn't even withhold your Son from us, but you gave him to pay for the sins, for my sins, Lord. So thank you for that, Father. We pray that you bless everyone that is participating, whether here in the service or online. And we ask that you would bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to add my welcome to anyone who's new or visiting, and I want to add just a special invitation. Partnership has this like sweet place in my heart. I've done it twice through CA, and it's just an awesome way to learn about who we are as a church, to meet the Backstreet Boys in person, maybe autographs, maybe, I don't know, no promises. But if you've never done partnership, I just want to encourage you to jump into that with us tomorrow. It starts at 11:15. It's a 4-week series. It's going to be good. So if you haven't done that yet, sign up online. If we didn't mention, there's free breakfast, which we all love. So come join us for that for partnership. I get to start us in the second week of the Revelation series. We are doing a total of 22 weeks. Can you turn to your neighbor and say 22 weeks? We will be in the book for 22 weeks. It's going to be awesome. Tom graciously asked, he said, "Hey, do you want to preach?" And I was like, "Oh, sure, I'm honored." And yeah, sure, I'll preach. And he's like, "Good, we're doing the book of Revelation." And I thought, oh, maybe you should ask Mark. He's really wise. But Tom said, no. The book of Revelation is for everybody because it's a book that is all about Jesus. And so tonight, we're going to dig in and we're going to start the letters to the seven churches. And what I hope you and I get to at the end of our time together is the reality of who Jesus Christ is and what he's inviting us into. So the question I'm going to pose for our time together is, what do you love? Think about that for a second. What do you love? What do you love? When I was a child, I loved candy. It was like a single-handed mission of my life. I grew up with healthy parents. Anyone got healthy parents? There was lots of broccoli. There was very limited sugar in my house. And so it was like a full-time strategic plan to get the sugar. And my parents knew this. They knew I was sneaky, and so they were vigilant. They were on me. So when I would go to a friend's house and the cookie jar was left unopened, it was over. It was over. I'd clear it out. When we went Halloween trick-or-treating, I would shove candy in my pockets, and my parents would make us dump it all out, and then they would hide it from us and give us one piece a day. But those pockets, oh, I had little snacks in my bed. It was awesome. It was like a full-out mission for candy. If you've ever been deprived of candy like me, you know it's like serious. Like when you go to someone's house and there's an opportunity, take advantage. And so there was this one July 4th. It was really hot. My family likes to go up north in Wisconsin. They do a parade. And the best part about the parade is that they throw candy, right? So I'm ready. I have my tennis shoes on. I have my best outfit. So I'm like, this is my chance to get all the candy. And at one point, they were throwing out candy. And there was this little pile of something. And they threw a candy piece right beyond it. And so I went and I dove. And I thought all the other kids would be diving too. So when I grabbed the piece of candy, I thought, oh my gosh, I got it. And I realized there was a huge pile of horse poop from the parade that I didn't see because all I saw was the candy. And so I dove, and you know what? I could care less. Why? Because I got the candy. So I walked away, nailed it, got it, Mom. Covered with crap. Didn't matter because I had the candy. Now, why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because what we love, it matters. It matters what we love. What we choose to love will determine everything about the way you and I live, of the way we act, the way we think, what we pursue. What we love matters. And so we're diving in today to what the heart of God says. And my prayer for us is that we have eyes to see what Jesus invites us to love, that we would have hearts that are open to loving God above all other things, because what we love matters. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for your word that is active and alive and living. I thank you that you are love, God, that in you there is love abound. And so, Father, would you speak to our hearts tonight, God? In the book of Revelation, would our eyes be revealed to see who you are in your beauty and in your truth? We invite you here in this place. And in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. So we are studying the seven letters to the churches. We're gonna tackle two tonight. So if you thought we're doing all seven, breathe a sigh of relief. We're starting with two. You'll get the other ones later on in the series. But we are going to be learning about the book of Ephesus, or the letter to Ephesus and the letter to Smyrna. Fun names, right? So we're going to dive in. Revelation 2, 1 through 7. It will be on the screen. Let the word of God just wash over you as we read it and hear what he would want to say to you. So this is Revelation 2, 1 through 7. It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write. We're going to come back to that in the weeks to come. Who is the angel of the church of Ephesus? These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Now, if you were with us last week, you'll remember what the seven stars are. They're the seven angels, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And who this is referring to is Jesus. Everything in the book of Revelation, as Tom said last week, is about who. Not when, it's about who. This is about Jesus. So this is Jesus speaking, and this is what Jesus said. Jesus says, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. This is the letter to Ephesus. Now, if you saw in the beginning, Jesus was speaking to all the good things that they had done. You'll see these patterns in the letter, and Jesus shows his character, who he is. He gives a plus, a thumbs up to everything they're doing good, if the church is doing good, and then he'll give a correction, and at the end, he'll give what the victory is if they come through and repent of whatever they need to repent of. So you saw this. These are the things they did good. They have good deeds. They have hard work. They're patient. They persevere. They can't tolerate wicked people. They try people who are evil. This sounds like a really good list of things, right? If you and I were to have this list in front of us, we'd be like, hey, I think I'm doing awesome. But God says, but you have forgotten one thing. You have forsaken your first love. You've left your first love, right? Sometimes it's easy for us as believers to think that if we're doing everything right, if we look good on the outside, that's all Jesus requires of us. We're showing up at church, we're going to Bible study, we're wearing our church clothes, we're looking good. But Jesus says, no, 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 it's not about what your actions are. It's not about your list of good things. I see your heart. I see what's on the inside. I see why you do what you do. And that matters to me. That matters that you've left your first love to do everything right. I wonder, what list are you trying to check in your own life? Where do you check the boxes of the good works, showing up, calling people, being there? And where has your heart gone away from Jesus? Where have you stopped loving Jesus? We see this in the book of 1 Samuel. This is what the Lord says to Samuel. He says, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Jesus cares about what we love. He cares about the why we do what we do. Do you know why you do what you do? Do you know what drives you? Do you know what propels you forward? Do you know what your heart loves most? 1 Corinthians talks about, it says, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Jesus is saying, I want your heart. I want you to return to the way you loved me at the beginning. I want you to love me. You see, Jesus can raise up anything to do his work. He can raise up rocks if he wanted to get his work done. But what he can't do is he can't make you and I love him. Love is a choice. Our personal choice, our personal decision to love Jesus is the best that we can give him. He can make anything he wants in the kingdom work. He doesn't need our work. He invites us to work with us. The only thing we get to choose is whether or not we love him. How are you doing at going back to your first love? The word forsake, it says you have forsaken your first love. The word forsake in Greek means aphiame, which means to have left, to send away, to depart. Notice that it doesn't say lost. You've lost your first love. Has anybody ever lost something? It's like you're kind of like, whoops, I lost it. No control over it. I was at the party. I forgot it. Whoops, my bad. When I was studying Spanish, they have this like reflexive thing that I'm not going to explain because I'm not the best at Spanish. But when you say in Spanish you lost something, you say se me olvidó. It forgot itself to me. Like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. It's totally, it's on that. The keys forgot itself to me. It didn't do anything. This is not what the word means. It means you have left your first love. You have forsaken your first love. There's a difference between losing something and leaving something, right? Jesus says you have left your first love. You see, when the Pharisees challenged Jesus, they said, "What is the most important command in the law?" They were trying to trap him. Jesus said in Matthew 22, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And other versions say, "with all your strength." The Bible is clear that what you and I are called to do is love. But the problem is when we get all of our works in front of our hearts, it's easy to just crank and produce and do things in and out for Jesus because it looks good, it feels good, it's the appropriate thing to do. And Jesus says, "No, no, 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 I want you to come back to your first love. I want you to come back to me." Do you remember where you were or how old you were when you discovered that Jesus loved you? Do you remember that? Some of you who don't know Jesus yet, we pray that you would discover him here in this house, in this place. But for those of you who've walked with Jesus, do you remember when you first discovered how real he was and how powerful he was and how much he actually knew you and cared for you? I was 12. I was in middle school. A friend had invited me to their church. And at the time, I was super self-conscious. I had just started middle school. I didn't fit in. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be cool. I felt like I was always out of the in crowds. And I went to this church and I saw people who were joyful. They were joyful and they were kind and they were not mean. They had something that I didn't have and I wanted it. They were filled with life. They were generous with one another. And I remember the day that I realized that they had Jesus and I didn't. And the pastor said, "If you want Jesus, all you need to do is let him into your heart." And that is the day that I fell in love with Jesus. I was 12 years old. I got swept off my feet. And I've loved him ever since. Do you remember when you first fell in love with Jesus? Maybe you were at the bottom of a pit. Maybe you were in a really hard place in your life. You see, Jesus came for the sinners. He came for you and I, those who are broken and lost and unsure. Jesus pursues us. He chases after us, and we fall for him. When we receive him into our hearts, we fall from him. And then what happens is, as life goes on, we can get more and more and more distracted. Sometimes by the good things, sometimes by works, sometimes just by other things in life. Jesus is saying, come back to your first love. Come back to me with your heart, not just with your actions, not with your to-do list. Come back with the essence of who you are. And so I want to ask you today, and I asked you earlier, what do you love? If your life were like a map, like in Google Maps, and I were to scroll in and that blue dot was your heart, where would it be hovering? Where do you find your mind? Where do you think a lot? What do you think a lot about? What do you spend a lot of your resources on? What wakes you up in the morning? What gets you out of bed? What drives you? Where do you dwell when you're zoning out or bored? What do you love? That's where you camp out. That's where you are. St. Augustine said this. He said, but my sin was this, that I looked for pleasure, beauty, and truth, not in him, but in myself and in other creatures. And the search of this led me to pain, confusion, and error. So often you and I, if we're really honest with ourselves, if no one's looking at us, if we're not in church, if we're honest, what most of us love is ourself. We love ourselves. We want the best for ourselves. We believe we deserve all good things. We want all the bank accounts to be in our favor. We want everyone to treat us well. We want to look good. We want people to respect us. We want life to be comfortable. We want life to be easy. We want everyone to do what we want to do, right? Just me? Okay. You guys are looking at me blankly. This is a house of saints, okay? When we're really honest with ourselves and each other, more often than not, we're prone to love ourselves. And St. Augustine said it best, when we chase after what makes us happy, it leads to pain and confusion and error. What are you loving? What are you chasing these days? Where have you left your first love? You know, sometimes we fall in love with Jesus, we realize who he is, we get excited, and then we start walking with him and it gets hard. Sometimes the church doesn't pan out to be who or what we thought it was going to be. Sometimes life circumstances throws us a curve and the health situation comes up, the financial crisis happens, a relationship breaks, something happens and we're left feeling less than, and it makes us think, oh, this God thing must not be real. He must have left me. He must not actually be for me. Life circumstances and the way that we live in the world is not always perfect. And yet the foundation of Jesus' love does not change. What do you love? I wonder if you and I were to go back in the timeline of your mind, where do you think you started leaving Jesus behind? Where do you think you left maybe that first love for him? Maybe it was a love for the world that overcame you and you started chasing other things, or you got into the in crowd, or money started flowing your way and things started being easier and more fun and you got distracted by vacation. Or maybe you had a family and all of that took over and there's no room for church or scripture. I wonder where you and I might have left our love for Jesus. This is the letter that he writes to the church of Ephesus. He says, you've left your first love. And he says, repent, turn back, come back to me. This is how the love in us is restored. There's three things I want to encourage us to do when we think about restoring our love of Jesus. The first is to remember. Remember, what has Jesus done for you? What has he done in your life? Where have you seen him move? Where have you experienced him? Where have you seen his goodness? Here's the thing. We cannot love what we haven't experienced. I can't say, oh my gosh, I love that restaurant down the street on 3rd. And someone asks me, oh, what's your favorite dish there? I don't know. I've never been. Wait, how do you love it? Oh, I love it. Love it. Love that. We can only love what we've experienced. So if you can't think of anything as I say this, I want to encourage you to ask God to reveal himself to you so that you can experience him. There's a little church I heard about in Eagle Rock that did like a 10-week sermon series on experiencing God. You can look it up on the website. That church was us. And if you want a sermon of what it means to experience God, we unpack it in 10 weeks. But when did you, like, when did you first experience God and then you got to taste and see that he was good? The Lord's inviting you to return to that, to remember him. You see, love governs everything we do. And if we forget our love for God, if we leave it behind, we have very little to give to the world. We have good intentions, we have good attitudes and postures sometimes, but without the love of God, you and I can do nothing. And Jesus knows that. So he says, return to me, remember what I've done for you. The second thing he says is to repent. Jesus says, repent or I will remove your lampstand. I will take away your church. Repenting is technically, the definition of it is like doing a 180. It's walking away from something. So say we love donuts and we're trying to get healthy. Repenting is like, oh, broccoli, yep, coming back to you. God invites us to repent of the things that are hurting us and others. What in your life is hurting you or somebody else? Repentance is this gift that God gives us. He says, you have free will, turn and go a different direction. If you're loving the wrong thing, if you're loving work more than me, repent, move towards me. If you're loving people or things or the created more than me, repent and turn from me. And some of you, it might not look like a 180. For some of you, it might be like a 5-degree turn where you're just a little off in your love for God and he's just like, just autocorrect, just a little bit over. Now you got a straight shot to me. Where is the Lord inviting you to repent? Where can you turn from your heart's affection and turn that affection back to Jesus? So it starts with remembering what Jesus has done in your life. Then he invites us to repent. And the third thing is this. He says, return. Go back to your first love. There was this commercial a while ago. I don't know if anyone saw it. It was like this really romantic scene with a guy and his girlfriend, and they were driving all over the country and like just these sweet, intimate moments. And then the commercial closed and said, you'll never forget your first love. And it zooms out, and the man is driving in his car, and it's like, we all love Subaru. And it's this man in his Subaru remembering his first love. And you're like so caught off guard. You're like, I thought he loved her, but he loves the car. What does it look like for you to return to your first love? What would it look like tonight, right here, for you to invite Jesus back into your heart, back into your life, back into your schedule, back into your priorities? Because here's the thing, people, it's about priorities. It's about placing Jesus where he rightfully belongs. There was this philosophy professor, and he was trying to teach his students about space and matter. And so what he did is he got out this big, big glass jar, and he put a huge rock in the glass jar, and he asked his students, he said, is this jar full? Now, the rock took up most of the jar, and so the students said, yeah, it's full. Then he turned around, and he got out a jar of pebbles, and he poured the pebbles around the rock, and they kind of fell into place, and he put it all the way up to the top, and he said, look, is this full? And they're like, Yeah, I mean, it looks full. And he turned around, he got out a huge jar of sand, and he poured it in, and it fell into all the little crevices until it went up to the top. And the professor said, is it full? And by this time, they're like, probably not, I don't know. So he turned around, and he got a bottle of water, and he poured it over, and that water seeped to every little space in that jar. And what the professor said is, this is how our lives have to work. You have to put the most important thing in first. You have to put the love of Jesus in. If you don't have the rock, you don't have life. The rock's got to go first. And then the pebbles, all those secondary things, our family, our job, all the good things that God's given us, those go in second. And then the last, the sand, all of our little hobbies, our little favorite things, those go in third. And finally, whatever else we're missing goes in last. But if you reverse that order, the rock will not fit. If you put water in first, then sand and pebbles, it takes up all the space and you cannot fit the rock in. Where are you prioritizing Jesus in the space in your life? What space does he occupy? Does he have the biggest space in you? Because if not, friends, I'm gonna be honest, nothing else is gonna make sense. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He is love and love unconditional. Without that love, you and I cannot function well. What does it look like for you to put Jesus at the center and let everything else come in after him? We're going to carry on to the second passage, Revelations 2, 8 through 11. So our first one is in the letter to Ephesus. He says, return to me. What you love matters. Will you return to Jesus? Now we're going to jump to the church at Smyrna. And this is what it says, Revelations 2, 8 through 11. To the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life. P.S., how much of a baller introduction is that? Like, boom, I'm the one that died and came back. It feels like a rap song. I get excited when I hear it. This is Jesus. He died and he came back to life. That's quite the introduction. So he says, listen to this guy because he's the real deal. Death to life, big deal. These are the words of him who's the first and last who died and came back to life. This is what he says to the church in Smyrna. He says, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days, but be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Now, you'll notice in this letter, Jesus introduces himself, mic drop, and then there's like applause. Like, you have been faithful. You are, even though through your afflictions and your poverty, you are rich. And then you'll realize in this, if you caught it, there is no condemnation. There's no mark. Nothing that the church in Smyrna has done, they have done wrong. He only applauds them. He says, you have been faithful. Do not be afraid when you suffer. Here's the reality, friends. We can only suffer for what we love. We'll always suffer for what we love. It doesn't even seem like it comes at a cost. We will suffer for who or what we love because it's a response that comes out of us, but it's by our very nature. And he's saying, this church loves me. They know me. They seek me. Stand firm. Do not be afraid for what you're going to suffer. And then he commends them. He says, though you have afflictions and poverty, you are rich. Jesus knows the human heart. He knows how prone we are to seek wealth and money because he knows all the things in the world that come with it, right? With money comes power, control, comfort, security, social standing, success. Money is one of the main topics of the Bible because it competes with the love of God. And Jesus says to the church, he said, though you are afflicted and though you are poor, you are rich. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? He knows that they have the love of Christ in their heart, that they've gotten something right, that they love Jesus enough to stand by him, to suffer through what's coming. Here's the reality. You and I are going to suffer in life no matter what. It's part of the human experience. So you and I get to choose if what we suffer for is right or if what we suffer for is wrong. People who chase evil will suffer. People who chase right will suffer. You and I get the choice of what we love because what we love is what we will suffer for. So if you don't love Jesus, when the going gets hard, you're going to peace out pretty quick, right? But when we love someone or something, we enter that suffering with them. When I graduated college, I did a year of service in Ecuador, and my assignment was the Children's Hospital in Guayaquil, and it was the primary HIV center for the entire country. So people would bring their kids who were struggling with HIV from all over and put them in this hospital. And I worked on the ward, not as a medical provider, just as somebody, a minister, pastoral care, and I would see day in and day out these parents who had sold everything to bring their kids to the best hospital, sleeping on the floor, eating maybe once a day, picking up their kids though they were sick themselves, loving their children to the end. It was a beautiful picture of when we love somebody, we will suffer. It's almost like a knee-jerk reaction. And you guys all know what I'm talking about. We don't have to be in a hospital to see that. I meet with so many moms who are suffering from kids that have walked away, kids who are making bad decisions, kids who are struggling with suicidal ideation in this season. I've seen couples who are suffering when their loved one is sick in the hospital, making bad decisions. You and I naturally suffer when we love someone or something. Jesus is saying, I commend you that you are suffering for my name. Stand firm and you will receive the crown of life. Matthew 5 in the Blesseds, the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 11 and 12 says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What do you love? It will determine what you think is worth suffering for. It will determine how you live. It will determine how you think. It will determine where you put your feet on the ground. And Jesus says, when you remain in me, I will remain in you. So stand firm. Though the church is slandering you, though they are persecuting you, though there are trials, stand firm and you will receive the crown of life. I wonder who needs to hear that today. Who needs to hear that your suffering does not mean that God is mad at you. It does not mean that you have chosen the wrong thing. It does not mean that that God is disappointed in you, that he's punishing you. That is not what suffering is. There's a promise in 2 Timothy. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it now in my notes. This is it. This is the promise in 2 Timothy. So some of you need to hear this today. It says, this is Paul teaching his apprentice. He says, you, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, here's the promise. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. For those of you who are suffering, I want you to know that you are in good company. Jesus Christ himself suffered for us to the point of death on a cross. And Jesus says, I will reward those who suffer for my name. So I'm going to go back to that question again. What do you love? What do you love? Because whatever you love is going to lead you in the direction of your life. There's a line in a Maverick City song that says, we become what we behold. Whatever we worship, whatever we love, that's the direction our life takes. And so here Jesus commends the church in Smyrna. You know Smyrna, you know what they created in Smyrna? Then they created myrrh. Do you remember that? That was one of the gifts that the wise men brought Jesus. And what happened is when it was crushed, the essence came out. So the church of Smyrna, they were persecuted. They were withstanding hardship. And when they were crushed, oh, what beautiful fragrance came out. The church of Smyrna grew because of the persecution against their Christian faith. Do you know that when the church is persecuted, no matter where it is in the world, it always grows? There's something about people that believe and love a God so much that they would stand and receive bodily harm for the one that they love. And so I wonder today, what do you love? What would it look like for you to return to your love for Jesus? What would it look like for you to remember the good things he's done? What would it look like for you even to name the other things that have competed for your love? And like the pebbles, put them second place to the rock of Christ in your life. I'm going to invite Alex to come as we close. But as he comes up here, I want to share with you either a poem or a quote. I don't know what it is, but it was written by a Jesuit. His name is Pedro Arrupe. And I found this when I was in college. And in college, I was really seeking after truth. Is God, the living God? Is he worth following? Is he worth suffering for? Does he actually love me? And can I actually trust and love him? And I found this, and it really put things into place for me. And so I'm going to read it over us, and then I'm just going to close this out in prayer. But this is what it's called. It's by Pedro Arrupe. It's called Falling in Love with God. This is what it says. It says, nothing is more practical than finding God. That is, than falling in love in a quite final, absolute way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you will do on your evenings, how you will spend your weekends, what you read, who you know, what breaks your heart, what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are revealing yourself to us in the book of Revelation. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would help each of us right now, God, wherever we are, to identify what it is that we love, God. What consumes our heart? What consumes our day? Where do we place our affection? Lord, would you show us what it looks like to return to you, to put you back in your rightful place on the throne of our heart? We invite you to be the rock and the center of our life, Lord, to be the reason why we live. So, Father, if there's any way that we've put something else in your place, we repent of it, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness and we say, come, be my first love. I want to return to you. Receive me in your goodness and your mercy and your grace, Jesus. We receive your love and we give you our heart, Father. Come, occupy us. Have your way in us. And Lord, we pray for any of us who are experiencing persecution of any kind, God's sufferings of any kind, especially in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray your favor and your blessing, Lord. I pray you would strengthen your love for these people, Lord. I pray that their hearts would be on the rock and the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, that you would be their refuge in the storm, and that they would hold on, God, that they would trust you to see them through to the end, Father. We know that your sufferings are not punishments, Lord. They're part of life. No matter what we love or who we chase, God, we will suffer. And so we choose, God, to suffer for the name that is above all names, the one who has redeemed us with his own blood. Lord Jesus, would you strengthen the saints today who are suffering? And God, we invite you right now to have your way in us, God. Will you help us? If we haven't yet, God, will you help us to fall in love with you and to stay in love with you, that it may affect everything we do? We thank you that you are a good God, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.